Hello, welcome to episode 2 of Pilgrim Pit Stop. I'm just in my local park. It's a Sunday afternoon. There has just been a pretty intense hailstorm, and I don't really know why I'm here, to be honest. It's sort of quite cold and miserable out, although there are some patches of blue just starting to peep through in the clouds. But I'm just here, I'm going for a little walk, and I'm here to tee up this episode. This is episode 2, and it's a conversation that I had with my friend Johnny Davies. Now, Johnny Davies is a music producer, and he has been doing music production for several years now, but only recently has quit his job and is actually really making a go of it. And he is producing some really interesting stuff. He's collaborating quite a bit with a guy called Kingdom Rapper. You can find his stuff online. Kingdom Rapper is a Christian rapper, believe it or not. there's some guy over there with a chainsaw. I don't know what he's doing. Cutting down a tree, I think. That's what you can hear in the background. Yeah, and Johnny is also just a really good friend, someone that I've known for a few years, and one of these people that I can just sit down with and, you know, have a really deep conversation without it feeling weird. And I like people like that, where you can just sit down and chat about the real stuff that's going on, and there's no judgment and there's no fear of what the other person's going to think. So I sat down with him on the 15th of February 2020, and we just had a chat about God and about how Jesus has come into Johnny's life and turned things around quite a bit. Cacao and cashew canola bar.
Quinoa.
Come on, give it a try.
Canola.
Sorry, I don't quite... I don't move in your circles.
What's your typical diet then?
Kit Kat.
Kit Kat on toast.
It's good. It's quite dense.
You've got to pack as many nutrients as possible into these bad boys.
How long have you been getting these for then?
On and off for about 5 years.
Mhm.
No, not really. just whenever I can. I feel like I need to improve my health.
Mhm.
Go out and buy a little quinoa bar.
Nice. Right. So we're here in your house.
We are.
In your room.
We're in my bedroom.
Your bedroom, which doubles up as your recording studio, is that right?
Bedroom / studio, yeah. I try and make the most of the space, and obviously the acoustics aren't always ideal, but Billie Eilish, she
She did her last album in a toilet, didn't she?
A toilet?
I think so.
She was in a bedroom.
In a bedroom.
Not a toilet.
Why do I think it's in the toilet?
I don't know. Maybe she had the recording booth in the toilet.
Because a lot of people say that the acoustics in toilets are good.
Oh, okay. Probably not the best place to have an electric. But...
That was good. Thanks for that.
That's right.
Right.
All good.
So maybe we could just start by saying a little bit about your walk with God. I don't actually know much about your story, so let me know.
All right, I'll break it down to them.
Mm.
So, I guess, growing up, my parents were Christians, so I was always going to church. I was going to all the Christian summer camps and that kind of thing. But, it got to 13, and my parents said that it's up to me now, like, I can go if I want to, or it's whatever, really. So, at that point, I didn't really understand the sort of, I guess, the meaning behind that, what it means to live your life for God, really. I didn't fully understand it, and a massive part of it, to me, felt like it was more about how good you were as a person than the actual sort of Jesus dying for us and forgiving our sins. So, plus, I didn't really have that many good mates from church. So, at that point, I stopped going. And then I'd say, in school, I was always sort of like, I was always conscious about the people that I was around. And I guess that I was always very like, a bit insecure in that sense, and wanted to be in the sort of the popular crowd. So that's kind of like the route that I went down. And then when I was 16, that's when I kind of got exposed to like drinking, partying, smoking weed, sleeping around and gambling, just a whole host of different things. So at that point, that kind of went on for a good sort of 4 or 5 years. And I think all of that stuff combined with the fact that I'd left school and joined Rolls Royce, not really kind of knowing what it was all about, more just knowing that it pays really well. But yeah, as soon as I got there, I realised like this isn't me. But I thought it would be stupid of me to join and then leave without doing my apprenticeship, because at least I'd have a qualification. So I did that, and then once you've done that, you're obviously a skilled worker, so the wage goes up quite a lot, pretty much double. So by the time I was 18, I was earning sort of a considerable amount of money for someone of that age. So yeah, that's kind of what kept me there. And I guess, yeah, in terms of like my faith and stuff, I think that ties into it, that whole sort of period of my life, because of how unhappy I was. I was almost using weed as a way of escaping from the frustration that I felt because of my job and how much I didn't like it. But at the same time, I was kind of felt like a bit of a slave to it because of how well it was paid. But then, yeah, I guess I was sort of gradually growing more and more dissatisfied with life, and I would be just pushing myself more and more to sort of my limits, just to sort of see. It was almost just like constantly looking for that next sort of hit of adrenaline, that something that's going to kind of give me some sort of excitement. So yeah, that happened for like 5 years, and then my brother had a very sort of similar path to me as well, probably worse than me. He was kind of like, yeah, Pete was a bit wild back in the day. And that it came to the point for him as well, where I was like, I can't do this. I feel lost. I've abused my body, I've abused my relationships, and I think Pete would admit that as well. And he just came to that place of crying out for God and just saying, look, I can't do this anymore. If you're real, like, come and reveal yourself to me. And I think at that point, P Peter started to realise that God was real, and that he wanted a relationship with Pete, and that he wanted to offer Pete a way out of all that suffering and all that addiction and stuff. And Pete went off to YWAM in Switzerland, so I think that was a really sort of big...
What's YWAM for those that don't know?
So YWAM's Youth with a Mission, so that's basically it's like an organisation that's set up for people who want to learn more about God and about Christianity, and it's like a discipleship course. So yeah, Pete went off to Switzerland for 3 months, I think, and then at the end of that he did like a month of outreach as well. He went over to Egypt to just to help out with some, I'm not sure what it is now, some sort of charity or set up over there, just helping kids who aren't that privileged. So after that, like, he came back to England, and even before he'd left, like, I could just see that there was a change. I could see that there was just like a huge weight that was lifted from him. He was a lot more calm. It felt like he'd come to that place of realization that, yeah, like, God is real, and I need to take that seriously. Like, I've seen the change in my life, and so obviously me knowing Pete my whole life and seeing how he'd struggled with sort of anger and stuff like that when he was in his sort of worst years, and then just see as such a sudden transformation. That made me stop and think. It made me think, wow, like, maybe this is worth trying. Like, in a way, I kind of always knew that life with God was the right way to be living, and that it was all, I always felt that call, even when I wasn't almost running away from God. But yeah, it was the sort of, for me, it was like the it was the social sort of acceptance. It was like, as soon as you give your life to God, you're declaring that you want to live differently, you want to change your ways, and you want to walk away from all that kind of all those things that a lot of people today will just see as the norm, and just think that's okay, and this isn't actually I'm having fun, it's not like damaging my spirit or whatever. So yeah, like, I decided to explore that for myself. I started reading my Bible, I started praying, I started singing a lot of worship songs, and I noticed like a big sort of presence of God when I would do that. I'd be at work, and just to sort of get through the shift, I would be walking around just kind of singing worship songs to myself, and there would just be this like unbelievable like sense of peace and love that would just be so like tangible. And then where do we go from here? What point are we at now?
So how long ago was that you sort of, did you make a conscious decision at some point to follow God, or was it just a gradual
process? Yeah, so that was the sort of initial things that I started to do. Like, to start with, it was just that realization of the community that was on offer, and just being in a place where people are so willing to sort of listen to you and understand your problems, and not criticize, not judge. And I know that's not always sort of the case in church, but I think for me that's what I experienced a lot of, and I could see like quite a drastic sort of change in the just from the just from the circles that I was spending time in. I think that's what I needed at that point. I'd spent so long sort of dragging myself down and doing a lot of things that weren't good for me, that I needed, like, I need to step out of that sort of lifestyle for a bit. So that was a breath of fresh air. And the point at which I sort of officially decided to allow God into my life was, I was driving to my dad's studio one day, and
your dad's an artist. He makes kind of collages, doesn't he, out of magazines and things.
Mm.
Just to I'm saying that to you, but just for the listeners,
you
don't know, Giles Davies.
He's a semi-famous,
legendary
artist.
Featured on the BBC.
Yeah, that's the one. Home is where the art is. I don't know if it's still on iPlayer or not, but if you want to see
it. It's a quality program if you get a chance.
Yeah. Go check that out. Support Giles Davies Landscapes. quick plug.
Anyway, so you're driving to your dad's studio.
So yeah, driving to my dad's studio, and then I'd obviously had a few weeks of sort of feeling like I was encountering God. So at that point, I was like, look, like, this isn't just like a feeling. This is me praying and me giving praise to Jesus, and just feeling completely different, and feeling as though, like, I'm forgiven, and that I'm not defined by all the mistakes that I'd made in the past. So I was like, okay, look, God, like, I realise that you are real, and I need to kind of change my life around. There's a lot of stuff that I need to get rid of. So I said, look, God, if you're like, I want to make this the point where I commit to you. So if you're real, then, like, give me a sign. So I pulled up at my dad's studio and got out of the car, and then looked across the road, and there was all these little... all these kids just sort of playing around, and then they had a picture or something, but they shouted me, and they started saying, hey, like, over here. And yeah, believe it or not, they had a picture of Jesus in the sort of style that you would see in, like, an old, like, cathedral.
Wow.
And that was just like, that was insane for me, because I just thought, like, why on earth have they got that? Like, why would they shout me? It was just crazy. I'd slept around quite a lot, and that had become like a bit of an addiction for me, and I kind of knew. I knew straight away that it was like an uncontrollable sort of desire that I'd been exposed to, like, at a young age and outside of, like, some proper boundaries, which is marriage, basically. And so I read a book called something like The Revelation of Sex. And that spoke to me a lot, and it kind of, like, really hit me that, like, sex isn't something that you can just sort of treat as like a pastime, like a sport, as so many people do in this day and age. Like, now that we've got Tinder, we've got all these different sort of apps that make it so easy to just go and sleep with some random person. And I knew that because after I'd slept with someone, it wasn't necessarily a good feeling. It was more a feeling of, like, shame, and a feeling of, like, I've just been very vulnerable with someone that I barely even know.
Hmm.
And it was all to sort of, it was all for my benefit in a way, because you're chasing after that feeling, that high of sex, and yeah, so that was like a massive sort of realization for me, and a big part of me realizing that there is a right way to live, and there are sort of, God puts in boundaries and guidelines for a reason, and they're not to sort of limit us and restrict us, they're to actually protect us and to help us go through life without getting hurt, without getting damaged. So that was a massive thing for me to start with. And then just the general sort of like awareness of the fact that when I would pray and ask God for forgiveness, I would feel such a sense of like of love and acceptance, and there had been so many occasions where I'd been selfish and I'd been careless, and initially it was really, really difficult. Like obviously on one hand I felt a lot of peace and I felt a lot of love and acceptance, but then on the other hand I also felt a lot of separation, and a lot of these people who I'm now spending a lot of time with haven't kind of, they've been pretty stable with their lives, and they've learned how to relate well with each other, and they've learned how to put others before themselves. And I was so aware of like how I was a novice in that sense. Like I had a understanding, and I'm not just some sort of some selfish kind of locked away kid who's never been exposed to like obviously, yeah, you grow up in your family and you're always like accustomed to just treating people the right way, but this was like a new level of that. And a new level of being like really intentional in that way, and that would make me feel quite uncomfortable sometimes. And it was a lot easier to start with to carry on kind of, and I say to start with, like to be honest, like even now that is something that is a struggle for me. It's sort of, it's letting go of old habits in a way. And like even today to this point, if I'm being honest, like weed is still something that's a struggle. For whatever reason, it's an addiction, I guess, and it started as a way of me escaping life, either when it's too difficult or a bit too scary. It's just like, okay, yeah, let's just retreat, let's just kind of zone out and just pretend that like life isn't going on and there isn't all these responsibilities that I have to face. So that's kind of an ongoing thing that I'm trying to work through. But I think the more that I spend time with God, and the more that I read the Bible, and the more that I pray and build my relationship with God, the more I realise that He's got so much grace for all of our wrongdoings and all of our mistakes. And however hard you try to put yourself sort of beyond that forgiveness by hitting the self-destruct button sometimes and just being like, look, God, like, you don't want to waste your time with me. Like, I'm not someone who's worthy of sort of representing your name. But that's another sort of trap that you can fall into, is the whole sort of pride thing where it's like you set yourself on this pedestal that's just like, it's not realistic, and we're human beings, we're not perfect, and we all fall short of God's perfection. And sometimes you just have to humble yourself and realise, yeah, like I'm not all that I think I am, and I do need God, and I can't do this all by myself.
Mm.
And the sooner we just sort of accept defeat and just realise that we can't have it our way. Like, God created us and He made us to be in relationship with Him, and for Him to be the most important thing in our lives. And I think the sooner we just accept that, and the sooner that we trust that God's plan for us is the best plan, and like, even at times when it seems painful or it seems like unfair, there's always going to be something that God's doing in you in that season, and there's always going to be things in your character that He's building or that he's stripping away. And yeah, a lot of the time it's not that easy to kind of look at life that way, because we want everything right now, we want everything instantly. And I think with God it's just about realizing that it's a marathon, it's not a sprint, and he wants really us to
yeah, because I mean, I think you can sometimes think, you know, the minute you give your life to God, all of these problems are going to just go away and we'll be living a, you know, completely sin-free life from the word go.
Mm.
But obviously we are sinful by nature almost, you know, we have to come to the foot of the cross every single day and ask for forgiveness.
Yeah.
And His forgiveness is boundless and is never going to run out. Mm. But we do need to keep on asking. We need to keep on humbling ourselves and saying, you know, we can't do this alone. We need you. And I think, yeah, I think that's the thing, that for a lot of people who look at Christians, they might think, oh, those guys have got their lives together. They're perfect. You know, I can't be part of that organization. I can't be part of that club because I'm not good enough.
Yeah,
and it's what you said as well about feeling like you're inadequate of going to church because you didn't have your life together.
Mm.
But the point is, none of us do. None of us do.
Exactly.
Even if we can present a kind of a brave face and look fairly polished on the outside, we're all just, we're messy, aren't we? We're messy and full of contradiction and confusion and past hurt and hurt that we've inflicted to other people as well. And yeah, we just need to keep on asking. We need to keep on saying, you know, your way in my life, not mine.
Yeah, there'll just be those people who are just so like joyful and so just constantly like happy and so willing to just set on like, well, what can I do for you? Like, how can I show this person like love? And you just felt that so much, and you start to realise that like, yeah, they've been probably Christians for like 30 years. That's 30 years of them like inviting Jesus into their lives more and more and more, and getting rid of like themselves more and more and more. And like, the more that we get rid of our desires and our wants, and the more that we replace that with God's desires, the more that we become like Him.
Yeah, I love that. And I love the idea that, you know, 60 years from now, I will look more like Jesus. I will be acting more like Jesus.
That's
for me, that's so exciting. That kind of lifelong process of sanctification, I guess, is the kind of theological term, isn't it? But just literally imitating Christ, trying to kind of flush out the Sam stuff that is, you know, flawed and broken, and try to let in the Jesus stuff.
Yeah.
And I, you know, at church, I'm so inspired by people in their 70s, 80s, who are just on fire for God. Mm. And clearly have just spent a lifetime in his embrace and his love. And it literally radiates out from them. It's so captivating and attractive to be around. For me, that is so exciting.
100%. Like, when you think about all the people that you've encountered in your life, those are the sort of people that always stick out and stand out the most, is the people who showed you the most sort of love and selflessness and appreciation. Like, I think that is the greatest treasure that we can have in life, is the relationships and the friendships that we have. Mm. How much we invest in those. Like, so often we invest in material things. We're constantly sort of like looking to upgrade ourselves and be the best version of ourselves, when really we do that by, yeah, it's like what it says in the Bible, isn't it? If you hold on to your life, then you'll lose it, but if you give your life for me, you'll find it.
Yeah.
And the more that you think about that verse and the more you apply that, the more you realise, like, yeah, I think God might be right with that one.
It's funny, that, isn't it?
Yeah. And like, I think for me that's still something that I'm trying to kind of, I realise that I'm not the best at that.
And oh, mate, same. I'm awful at it.
Yeah.
Because I think we're so kind of pressured, aren't we, to think in quite sort of individualistic terms about who you are and, you know, how you can sort of self-actualise in the best way and be the best version of yourself, and like, new year, new you. There's just so many things kind of in the culture that would be subtly posited as like a way to find fulfilment and happiness.
Yeah, yeah.
And that, obviously, that verse just goes completely against that.
Mm.
And yet what we're describing is that the happiness and joy that we've found in life has come through that process of emptying and, you know, sort of submitting to God.
Yeah.
It, you know, just glimpses of that as we kind of enter into that relationship. Mm. But it's certainly not what is preached in the culture at large, is it?
No, definitely not. Yeah.
I just think, can we talk a bit about music? Because I think, well, you were saying that worship music was really significant for you.
Yeah.
When you were really inviting God into your life. And I know for me as well, people like John Mark McMillan, you know, listening to his music, where he sort of, the way he sings about Jesus, was really significant for me, you know, about 3-4 years ago. That music was almost the soundtrack to that. So do you want to talk a little bit about worship and why you think that's significant for you?
Yeah. I think when we worship, we are giving God praise. And I think that music is something that obviously God's created, and I think there's just something so special and so kind of magical about music. It's the way that you can play a chord and it can instantly just like make you sort of drop your guard and make you want to like, just so powerful. Like, it's so such an amazing way to sort of captivate someone and create a certain type of emotion, I guess. That's the thing that I love the most about music, and worship is I think that's my kind of like my favourite part, aspect of being a Christian. And I love singing, I think it's just when there's just a crazy sort of powerful feeling when everyone's joins together and they're all singing praise to God.
Yeah.
Because it's like we're all just acknowledging that. I think it's important as human beings, we all praise something. We all make something our idol, and I think the only thing that is worthy of being of giving praise is God.
So there you have it. Oh, it's really good to sit down with Johnny and really talk about some pretty big stuff, to be honest. But like I say, great that he is open to being vulnerable, and yeah, great to hear about ways that God is moving in his life. Now, if you want to find some of Johnny's stuff, he goes by the name Johnny Love when he's producing music, and he's also released a single under the name Genre. So if you search for J'ENRE, he's released a single which is called Love Me, and that's available on Spotify and Apple Music and various other places. Great. Well, thank you for listening, and I hope you've enjoyed this. You know, I've managed to stick to my word so far of getting out 2 podcasts a month, and I'm going to try and continue with that rhythm. That just feels like a nice, sustainable rhythm to keep up. So I've got some fun conversations which have already been recorded, and they will be released over the coming months. And I look forward to meeting other people and just chatting about Jesus, because, to be honest, you might have guessed this already, but I really love just sitting down with people and having a chat about Jesus. Yeah, and it's so great to hear different insights into how he has come into people's lives and just invaded them with love and compassion. And everyone has a different story, but that seems to be the overriding thing, the love that kind of interweaves in everyone's stories of how Jesus has entered their lives. Many thanks to Johnny Davies himself for creating the theme tune to this podcast, and to my brother Thomas Thorogood for creating the jingles. It is just a coincidence, to be honest, that I've ended up interviewing the two of them in the first 2 episodes of this podcast, but there we go, it's a happy accident. And they're both they're both great friends, so that's just the way it's happened. I hope you stay well, and thank you as always for listening. This is, as you know, it's a new podcast, so you know, I'd really appreciate it if you've enjoyed listening. I'd appreciate you just sharing this podcast with someone that you know. That would be cool. If you haven't already as well, just click subscribe, so that I mean, you don't have to by any means, but if you would like to subscribe, then I would be very thankful to you for doing that. No pressure though, you do you. Hey, have an amazing week. I hope it is filled with many good things. God bless. Bye-bye.